we haven't met before, hey, I'm Zach, and welcome to my existential crisis. I have spent my entire career making a living as a creative, and like you, I'm wondering what the future holds for all of us. I may not have all the answers, but few are more dedicated to helping you find them than I am. Come join me as I have candid conversations with some of the world's most interesting people to explore what truly matters in life while making sense of our messy creative minds along the way. No matter the challenges you might be navigating, you always have a safe space here with me. If you've ever thought to yourself, what would it take to get Zach on a soapbox in the fewest number of words possible? I've got three for you. Work, life, balance. Don't get me started on this concept. Not only do I believe that the pursuit of work-life balance is impossible and futile, I also believe it's meaningless. Now, hold on a second. I thought I was Mr. Family Values, trying to avoid the grind, being more purposeful with our work. Yes, I am all of the above, but I also believe that work-life balance is the wrong thing to work towards. And there's a concept that I've been working on, especially in my Focus Accelerator program with my academy students, that I call strategic imbalance, which is building both work and life around things that you are excited to be working on and being very clear about how I prioritize work, how I prioritize life, and how I integrate work and life rather than the futile pursuit of balance. So having said all of that, I have another one of my students in the academy here today for Hot Seat Friday. His name is Joe Dobson. We talk all about how he can spin all of the plates that he's got in life, all the hats that he has to wear, and how do we make all of it come together without losing our minds. So again, if you're listening to this thinking to yourself, I'm struggling with all the same things, these are the kinds of conversations we have in the Arnold Academy every single week. We do 8 of these hot seats on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I record all of them, transcribe them, AI summarize all of them, available in the archive, searchable by topic, keyword, and otherwise. So if you'd like to be a future member of Hot Seat Friday or put yourself on the hot seat, just visit thearnoldacademy.com. Again, that is thearnoldacademy.com. So without further ado, here's today's hot seat with Joe Dobson.
Morning, Zach. Morning, everyone.
Good morning, sir. I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. I come to this office hours to lay myself at the mercy of this conversation because I'm not really too sure what I'm here to talk about.
I would just like to say that might be the best opening of a hot seat ever. Like, I lay myself at the mercy of the court.
Because having done our hot seat last week, I'm in post-calendar crisis where I've been staring at my calendar for the last couple of days while doing reflections on our hot seat. And I did the calendar ninja workshop. Mm-hmm. But it's not about the calendar. It's about taking control of the calendar and what I want to put in there and what I want to prioritize. And I'm having this internal struggle of being like, well, if I only had a paycheck job, it'd be easy to do my calendar because that would be 8 hours done and my paycheck would come in every week or whatever. But that's not on my sheet. I have way more that I want to do in life than I have to do in work. So I'm in this struggle and I'm a little bit stuck. I don't really know how to push this task forward. And it is all consuming. It's all I'm thinking about.
All right. Well, having said that, I can set my watch to somebody's existential crisis when I ask them to do this calendar exercise. I literally worked with a student privately no more than 4 days ago. I gave them the same assignment as you, and they came to the call in absolute crisis. It basically goes from, wait, so how many calendars do I need? What color? To what am I doing with my life? That's basically what this leads you to, is the realization that this is a lot harder than I thought it was. So the calendar exercise itself is really simple. You need a calendar app. You need 4 calendars. You need a plus button to add calendar events and assign them colors. That's it. But it forces you to ask some really, really difficult questions about your goals and your values and how you spend your time. So I say all of this just so you feel like it isn't you, it's the process. And I would never wish this level of discomfort on anybody, but this is the process. So I start there that this is very, very normal.
Yeah, because I did find it has been very useful. Like I'm happy in the discomfort, but it has been quite challenging to be able to put everything in perspective, because I feel like I have let others dictate my schedule and my life a little bit, and there's a lot that I want to do. And then on the other hand, I feel like my career and journey is more on the generalist path. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the indecision about what path is next does also muddy the waters a little bit, if that makes sense. Because mm-hmm. When I look at what I need, maybe I'll take a little step back. I always feel when I'm out of work that I'm like, oh my gosh, when's the next work? When's this? Even though in my head, I know my runway it's not ending next week or next month. Like, I've got time to figure it all out, but there's something inside that is like, oh my gosh, I need to be reaching out. I need to have, which is funny because 5 minutes before this call, I just got an email being like, hey, there's two projects that we have coming up. We want to pitch you to the directors. Can you send some work through? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, why did I spend the last 4 days panicking about this? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this whole process has been good, but it is difficult, and I'm still a little bit stuck, you know, like I'm a little unsure how to move past this little period of uncomfortableness.
Mm-hmm. Man, that was awesome. Like, that's what it takes to figure this shit out. Like, you were being open, you were being honest. Like, this wasn't just, well, I'm really feeling all these things, but I think what I'm going to ask Zach about is where's the right click menu so I can color code the calendar events to switch it from my work plate to my life plate, right? Like, you just went to the heart of it. So I so appreciate the fact that you're doing that, because this is a really difficult exercise and it brings up really, really difficult existential questions. So there's a lot to unpack here, and I'm not sure that I can unpack all of it in a single hot seat. But I think there's a minimum of two conversations, and I'm going to lay out what I think the two conversations are, and you can choose which you think is the place that you'd like to start. One of which is, who am I when I'm not working? Because I think the identity to when you're working versus not working probably feeds into some of that anxiety that speaks to, I already know the numbers. I look at the numbers. I don't need to work immediately, but there's some other fear or anxiety that's associated with, when you're not working, who am I? How should I be spending my time? And then I think the other one is, we need to start to break down, what are these goals that you have in life, not in work, or both of them? And then how do we start to prioritize, knowing that there isn't space for all of them? So if we were to look at both of those, which one do you think would be more relevant and useful to where you feel stuck right now?
I think maybe the second one, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I think when I did this process and I looked at my calendar, I wanted to put so much life in there that I felt like these things that I do or want to do, that I always push them down because I always have these big slabs of work.
Yeah.
So I feel like life is wanting to take over. It's trying to take over, but mm-hmm. for whatever reason, I mean, probably workaholic, perfectionist, wanting to be, you know, that kind of thing. I always mm-hmm. want to be working, like to be working, I guess, but I am looking for that prioritization, because I feel like I have put work ahead a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just looking to integrate them better.
Mm. I find it interesting that you said you wanted to have the conversation about number two, and then you started talking about your identity as a workaholic and why you need to keep finding work. I find that interesting.
Okay.
Given that, cool. Let's start with the conversation number two, which is about prioritization. Looking at all of the goals that you have set for yourself in both work and life, knowing that right now it seems like the life goals are really calling you. Do you believe that with all of the work and life goals that you have, and if you set like a general timeline, like these are all the things I want to accomplish by the end of the year and the next 10 years, like what's the general sense of these goals that you have in front of you?
For work and life or just one or the other?
No, for everything you're looking at where you're saying, wow, there's so much here. I don't know how to prioritize. We're just going to start broad. Then we're going to get more specific.
So none of my goals are any more than 5 years away.
Okay.
And those 5-year ones aren't fully formed ones. So like I would say 2.5 years inside of a trailer house is kind of like my furthest and highest goal on that work side. And then I just have a bunch of life stuff that I want to do within the next sort of 2 years as well, like that I'm working towards.
Okay, so we're looking in the next couple of years then. The way that I've been breaking it down with my Focus Accelerator students, and this is still a little bit of a work in progress, but I've been getting pretty specific about how I help them organize goals for both work and life. And the language that I use is when I say we're looking at the next chapter of work and life, it's usually the next year or so. If we're talking about the next phase of work and life or the vision for this next phase, that's going to be defined a little bit more by somebody's circumstances. But that's like the next 3 to 5 to 7 years, like this next phase of, like for me, I'm closing the phase of being a parent with kids at home. I've got about 5 years left. Then a new phase of my life is going to hit where all of a sudden it's empty nest. How do I now use my time? Who am I as a person when I don't have to be a dad all day long, right? So that's what I would consider like a phase, like these cycles of life that we go through where there are significant changes. It sounds like right now you're talking about the next chapter or the next couple of chapters, right?
Yeah, so I think so.
Given that, we don't need to worry about getting super, super specific about the goals yet, but the more specific the goals become, the easier this calendar exercise does become. But in general, what's your level of confidence that in the next couple of years, all of these things are doable and achievable?
Well, I think some of them are nice to have. Like some of them I'm just writing down. I'm like, oh, that would be nice to do. That would be, so those ones, yeah, could I do it? Probably. Will I do it? Probably not. And that's okay too. Like I just wrote these things down being like, these are sort of like pie in the sky sort of like thought processes, but I wanted to aim high. So even if I miss, I'm still amongst the stars, you know? So,
right.
But I think most of these are achievable because I've broken down a lot of them into their tasks and they all seem, if I can, you know, put a couple up on the board here and work towards them, I don't see any that are unachievable for sure.
Gotcha. Okay. So given all of that, obviously I haven't looked at any of your list yet. We just need to come to the agreement that you're not going to accomplish all the things that are on your list and you're not going to get it all done. As long as we can work from that as our basic agreement, then we can move forwards. Cause I guarantee you're not going to get it all done and you're not going to accomplish all the things. How do you think I have that level of confidence, not even looking at your list?
I don't know. Just
anybody else?
You can't do it all. Like,
there you go. You can't do it all. We think we can, but we can't. This is a really important conversation that I had. You may have already listened to it, but if you or anybody else hasn't, absolutely required reading for my Focus Accelerator students. And frankly, for any human being that's trying to figure out what the hell to do next, listen to my conversation with Oliver Berkman. Read the book 4,000 Weeks. Like, this literally is a game and life changer. And I do not say that hyperbolically. Like, I've read a lot of personal development and professional development books. It's kind of an obsession. I mean, it's literally multiple bookshelves of this stuff. I don't have fiction. Like, it's just, I want to learn more about human behavior, how I can improve myself, how I can do better in work, in life, in business, etc. If I had to choose one book, which is impossible, but if I had to choose one, it's 4,000 Weeks. This entire business is what it is. And all of these changes and rebranding have been made because when I read that book, I literally had to drop it like half a dozen times and say, fuck. Like, it was a mindset shifter. And the core tenet of this entire book is you're not getting it all done. As long as we can accept that, now we can move forwards and figure out how to organize our life. It is the most game-changing book I have ever read. And I've read a lot of really great books and talked to a lot of great authors, but this book takes the cake. So if you're really struggling to figure out how to, what it isn't is a prescriptive tactical book. It's not, well, first what you need to do is create the vision, then you need to, like, it's none of that. It's much more philosophical. Basically, just think of, you know, Oliver's, he was a journalist for years for The Guardian. So he's British. So just imagine kind of that dry British sense of humor combined with an ancient Zen master combined with Yoda. Like, they're just, I almost have destroyed the book because I've highlighted so many things. Like, when everything is highlighted, nothing is highlighted. Like, I can't even sift out the parts that are useful and not useful because the entire thing is highlights and scribbles. Like, it, I cannot emphasize enough what a game changer this was for me. So I really advise, if you haven't already, I would listen to that podcast and I would read that book, because it starts with the acceptance of, I'm never going to get it all done. I'm never going to have a finished to-do list. And as soon as we come to that acceptance, now we can start to figure out how to proceed. So this is not a judgment of, well, I don't know if Joe's going to achieve his goals. Like, Joe's not really much of a go-getter. He's always asking bad questions. Like, you're clearly very organized. You're like, every time that we've done a hot seat, you've got your shit together and you come to the next hot seat and you've exceeded my expectations and the work to do. All of which points to, you're probably a little bit like me. There's some takes one to no one in here. You probably set very, very high expectations for yourself. And the higher those expectations, and the more you're an overachiever, and the more that you're a workaholic, the more confidence I have that whatever's on your list, you're not going to get it all done. He said to himself in the mirror, pretending he was talking to Joe. So given that, I wanted to start with that as the basis of our conversation. Just as, and again, this is going to be a multi-level hot seat, but just get me started, kind of the bullet points. What are some of the bigger goals that you hope to achieve in the next year or two in work and life?
So, like I said, my work side, mm-hmm. my eventual goal is to work in a trailer house. So there's mm-hmm. obviously a bunch of stuff within that. And so this year I locked 5 theatrical trailers. I'd like to mm-hmm. do more than that next year. So I'd mm-hmm. like to do, you know, 7 to 8 at least. Maybe that would be nice. So that's kind of my work side. My professional side, I would love to learn French, for example. I would love to write more. That's something that I would like to explore. Like, I think that it would be something that I would like to do. So there's a bunch of options and avenues that I've explored of how I can, you know, do that. And I would like, and then I have a bunch of health goals that I would like mm-hmm. to hit as well. So I think those are the three big ones. So like work, health, and learning those new skills, writing and mm-hmm. maybe French. What I worry about, to be honest, is that once the trailer stuff goes into the calendar, everything else will fall away.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's obviously like, I mean, it's like, career is important, but it's also how you pay the bills and stuff. So it's just about, I don't know what I'm trying to say there.
Yeah. I think what you wanted to say is, well, it's really about balancing all of it. If I can balance what I'm doing with the trailers and balance learning French, and I can balance the things that I want to do with my health, if I can just find a way to get it all balanced. Is that kind of sort of where you're trying to go, or am I putting words?
Yeah, a little bit, I think.
All right. So I'm going to give you my 30-second TED talk about work-life balance. Work-life balance is absolute bullshit. Not only is the achievement of work-life balance a futile effort, it is a misdirected and misguided effort. I don't believe, and that there's a lot of people in the space now, specifically Oliver Berkman being one of them. Cal Newport is certainly one of them. Chris Guillebeau is one of them. There are a lot of people that are now in the space that are kind of anti the productivity movement. And it's more this idea of slower productivity, more deliberate, more sustainable. Like, these are my kinds of people. not the bro hustle culture, Alex Hormozy's do it at all costs, skip your kids' recitals so you can generate more revenue. Like, clearly you guys know my values. What everybody in that space is talking about is that we need to accept that it's impossible to achieve work-life balance. My thesis, which I have yet to find anybody else that's trying to prove this thesis, is that I don't believe the pursuit of work-life balance is worth it in the first place. The reason being that if we really want to find meaning and purpose in our work, we want to really put our efforts towards things that are meaningful, and we can't do that by putting 25% effort into work, 25% effort into family, 25% effort into learning French, 25% effort into fitness. Like, we can't balance it all, and I don't even think it's going to create a more fulfilling and engaging life that you're excited to wake up to. My thesis is that you need to learn and pursue what I call strategic imbalance. You need to very strategically choose how you're going to imbalance things for certain periods, whether that's for a week, whether that's for a month, whether it's for a season, whether it's for a year. So let me give you a very brief example of what I mean by strategic imbalance, looking at my own life. If I gave you a cross-section, if I were to screenshot my calendar from April of 2024 to July of 2024, you would look at it with no context and say, Zach is full of shit. He doesn't practice any of what he preaches. He's working like 70 hours a week. He's coaching in the mornings, and then at 11 a.m., he transitions to Cobra Kai. Then he's working on Cobra Kai until 9 p.m. Like, for 5 days, he's Mr. Workaholic. Like, he's so full of shit. He's not Mr. Work-Life Balance. But if you zoom out, that was me being strategically imbalanced, knowing that if I worked on that show for 4 to 5 months to finish out the series, I would be socking away a significant amount of income. So now I can be totally present with my business. And when I'm present with my business, guess who else I'm present with? My family, because I have complete and total control over my time and I work from home. With Cobra Kai, I worked from home, but it was basically door shut for 12 hours a day. Don't bother me. Like, I wasn't that big of an asshole, but sometimes I was. The point being, in that 4 month period, there wasn't work-life balance, but I was very strategically imbalanced for the bigger picture based on the vision for what I wanted my life to look like. And building this business and having the ability to literally get paid to make your life easier and make your life better and inspire you to do the work that you want to do, like, that's a pretty fucking awesome way to spend my time. It's really challenging to keep the business open in this climate, and it's very frustrating and stressful, but I love getting out of bed and dealing with this shit. I was up at 4:30 in the morning drafting an email newsletter. Like, who the fuck does that? Somebody that's a recovering workaholic, that's who does it. The point being that I was very strategically imbalanced in that period, but I knew my values. There was, like, let's say that I had been strategically imbalanced for 4 months, working in an office, working 7 days a week, that would have destroyed everything and all the plates I was spinning would have crashed to the ground. So I don't want you to think, how do I start to balance it all? We need to be clear about your goals and the vision for where you want to go. So then you can say, all right, what does strategic imbalance look like between now and Christmas or between now and June? And it takes clear goals and a clear vision, then you can start to focus and prioritize.
I think that's so interesting what you said, because that's exactly where I am now, like what you were just talking about. So the Cobra Kai thing, I just essentially came off that. So I was on that TV show that we talked about, got that job, while I like locked two trailers in that 3 month period. Mm-hmm. And I was all work all the time. And therefore I had no time or life, really. Like, I was just so busy for that 12-week period. Yeah. And now I'm like looking at my calendar being like, I don't want that to happen again. But then the way that you phrase it, well, this is the payoff. Now my calendar is clean. Now I can focus on some of these other things before having to, that's such a good way to think of it. I didn't think of it that way. I tried to put it my idea calendar, I tried to put everything in there all the time. Mm-hmm. And it
doesn't work that way. It's going to constantly shift. But here's one thing that I want to add to this. When you look at the strategic imbalance that you had for the last 12 weeks, all in on the trailers, right? And then you're saying, oh, well, now I have the space to now focus on life, but there's a big if in there. If you're willing to say no to opportunities that come up that don't align with your goals. That's where this is really important. So if I briefly go through the questions that I now use for the GoFar framework, and for those of you, side note, that are like, where is all this stuff? I don't have it in self-guided course materials yet. My Focus Accelerator students are deep into this right now. But if you guys go to Focus Yourself 1.0, you're like, he doesn't say any of this shit. That's because I didn't know what I was doing 8 years ago when I made this. Side note to the side note, if you're doing creative work and you're looking at work that you've done years ago and you're still happy with it, you're not trying hard enough and you're not failing fast enough. I cringe when I look at my version of Focus Yourself, but I built it 8 years ago when I was still Mr. Productivity. I've learned a lot in that process. So if you're thinking, where are all these worksheets? Where are these exercises? They're not available as self-guided course materials yet, but this is literally where all of my time is going right now, is building these. So given all of that, here are the questions that we talk about with the GoFAR framework. For those that are not familiar with GoFAR, it is an acronym for Goals, Obstacles, Focus, Act, and Review. And I've distilled all of this work into very simple questions that you can ask yourself. The goals questions: what do I want to achieve? Who do I want to become and why? The obstacles question: what's stopping me? By the way, a lot of this should sound familiar with your outreach. It's all the same thing. The focus question: what do I need to prioritize next? And what's the one thing such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier? The act question: what are the next actions that lead me closer to my goals? The review and reflect questions: how did it go? What's working well? What needs to change? You don't need to remember all of those. But the reason that I've broken it down into this framework, right now you're asking the focus question: where do I prioritize my attention next? And if you or anybody else is struggling with this question, you usually have to go upstream to see how clear you are and what do I want to achieve. And the other question that's underneath this that's really important with strategic imbalance, you have to be clear what you're not willing to sacrifice. So for me, there's a certain baseline of health and fitness and my ability to take care of myself that I won't sacrifice no matter how clear the opportunity is. So there's a difference between I'm in ninja mode and I'm going to parkour two nights a week and a climbing gym and I'm doing 4-hour Spartan training with Tony Horton on Sunday and I'm going to competitions. Like, that's one version of me spinning the fitness plate. You think I do all that when I'm deep in the throes of editing a TV series? No, no. But then I ask, what am I not willing to sacrifice? The simplest version: oh, I'm not willing to sacrifice my health and my well-being and my sanity. Because I've made that mistake before where I said it's all about the job. Then I basically end up comatose in a very deep depression. I've been there more than once. So I said that I'm not willing to sacrifice. And then another example might be, there's no way I'm willing to sacrifice working at a job where they wouldn't let me take a half-hour walk in the afternoons to get out of the office. That would be an example. There's more to it. But that's giving a sense of, if I'm going to be strategically imbalanced, I still need to have a clear definition of what am I not willing to sacrifice. But this could change week to week, month to month, year to year. Like, I don't think it should vacillate on a weekly basis, but on a project by project basis, this is something to think about. Like, there might be trailer mode. Here are my priorities. Here's what my weekly calendar looks like. Then there's Joe mode. I have no opportunities. I'm working on these life goals. But in order to be able to better strategically imbalance these things, it sounds like one of the strategies is becoming more comfortable with saying no. Which brings us to conversation number one about who are you when you're not working? See how it all intertwines?
Yeah. Yeah, sort of. I don't know what happened just there, but it unlocked something. Like, I feel a lot more clear about it, because even when I am working, sometimes that outreach is in my calendar. So I'm doing trailers so I can outreach about trailers. Mm-hmm. Da, da, da. But when I'm not doing trailers, that just shifts gears and it goes to the state. So it's like, it's about, oh my gosh. Okay. You did it. I think I'm a little bit, like, not fully, but like, I think, I feel much better than I did at the start of this hot seat, for sure.
Okay, good. I'm very happy to hear that. What everybody saw in real time was Inception. That was an idea planted. Now that idea is going to germinate and grow, and I think you're going to be off to the races.
Okay.
So, and that just affirms all of my suspicions that I think I'm onto something with this theory.
Yeah, definitely. Oh my gosh, amazing. Wow. Thanks, Zach. I really appreciate that.
You are more than welcome.
I'll take that away and let it seek into me.
Yep. And then we can talk about color time blocks.
Yes. No.
All right, cool. Great conversation, Joe. Good work.
Okay. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.